Hey friends, thanks so much for clicking on this video and watching one of our Catch Fire London services. We really love giving out all of this content and resourcing the churches. If you would like to sow into our ministry and give online or give through one of our websites or our app, then we really would love to encourage you to do that. There's information on this video for how you can do that, and we would gladly receive your support. Enjoy the sermon.
We've had a great week. Those of you who know us and follow us, we were in Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, had the privilege of ministering to Iranian Christians. We're building a village in Kenya. If you want to see some photos, the walls are going up, the slabs are going down, there's stuff happening, there's buildings going up all over the shop. So we're building a village in Kenya, and for us, Chloe and I especially, Kenya is our second home. Did you know that this church in the Wembley campus is between, depending on what you count, 350 and 450 people? You just don't see them all at one time. Like, we have a massive team in New Wine this weekend. They're going there to help minister, lead worship, and all that kind of stuff. The pastors are on holiday. So Tom and Abby went on holiday this morning. The associate pastors on holiday. We call that honeymoon. And so they land back in the country today. And then we've got a team in Ibiza. Ellie Barrett, who was up there, she was talking about the Noise Project. And Ellie Barrett is in Ibiza helping to run a project and see how we can love people who don't know how to receive love from God. They're receiving love from alcohol and drugs and sex and a whole bunch of stuff. And so Ellie Barrett's out there. If you don't know about that, please get involved. Ellie does that in London as well. But Ellie Hodgins also out with her, so they're in Ibiza. And there's someone else gone somewhere else. Like, we got people all over the shop. And so the family's relatively big. Did you also know that your family has, depending on what you count, about 2,500 members in Kenya? So about 2,000 of those are widows that we've got in small groups, and about a few hundred, depending on what you count, are children and the staff and everyone who's looking after the children in our home in Kenya. So please know that you're part of a much bigger thing, and that's just our little family, you know? We are really, really excited by what God is doing. I don't know why I said that. What was I saying? Good morning. Okay, so this is going to be one of those times. I said to Hannah, don't worry, because she was looking at me as if to say, I know you're preaching and the time's like running through. And I came up and I said to her, you don't need to worry because this is my preach. And so for those of you who kind of like switch off bits during worship, because this is the worship time, and then we switch different bits on and off for the preach time, then I was going to say, sucks for you. But also, I wouldn't say that in church. So a lot of what came out, even during the actual songs, let alone all the spontaneous and the prophetic stuff that was included in that worship time, was pretty much what I'm going to be preaching. But anyway, we are in a season. Did you know that? You're always in a season. That's just not very prophetic, is it? You're always in a season. But a few months ago we got a season of fire that was let loose, and there was a lot of people whose lives were being changed. And then if you were here last week, I was preaching on every impartation, every time God touches you, every encounter with God is like a seed. And he's not going to force you to bring that seed to fruition. You have to nurture the seed, and you have to do a whole bunch of research on horticulture to find out what nurturing a seed looks like, and then you extrapolate that to the spiritual. Or you could just read your Bible. There's another way of doing it. But you have to nurture the seed. Anyway, so we're in this season, and we were at a conference. That's where I started. We were at a conference this week called ELA, European Leaders Advance, which is a Bethel conference in the UK. And we were there, and Philly and Dan gathered together about 100 alumni from Bethel, which are the graduates of the Bethel School of Ministry, including a bunch of Catch the Fire people. And we went up there, and what happened was epic. Like, what the guys preached on the main stage was great. The worship was great. But what happened in the encounter room was epic. It was amazing. So many people. And here's what you need to learn. Learn this phrase. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your phone. Put it on your forehead. Put it on your hands. Encountering God's transforming presence. Okay? That's who you are when you walk into this room. That's who we are when we do anything outside of this room, encountering God's transforming presence. So we were asked by Tim and Sue if we could do an encounter room, and we were like, oh, let me pray about it. Yeah. And so we'd, the guys got together, this massive team of Bethel and Catch Fire people, and just prophetic impartation, prayer, healing the sick, worship, spontaneous encounter. It was a cacophony of godly chaos. Great use of the word cacophony. And so, yeah, we're just really buzzing because there's so many people whose lives changed in those moments. And we've had an epic time meeting with all the guys from Bethel as well. So that was awesome. We love Bethel. Let me start there. Someone challenged a friend of mine on Facebook this week. And it was a friend. It was a good challenge. It wasn't like a nasty, stupid challenge. But the challenge was, why are you praying for Bethel? Why has everyone got excited about praying for Bethel, like Redding, California, when what about the Rohingyas? What about Greece? What about Japan? What about? And here's what I need you to hear. This is the pastoral bit, okay? That's really stupid. Because here's the truth. When I pray for this person, God isn't worried that in that moment, I'm not praying for this person. Two things. Firstly, he doesn't run out of the supernatural by the time I get to this person. And so it's not like, well, I prayed for Reading and now, sorry, God, you'll have to wait till next week when you've recharged so that you can bless the Rohingya people. Like, that's just literally stupid. The other thing is, just because I'm praying here doesn't mean I don't care about here. But Bethel are our family. And so many people in this room, let alone in the room we were in at the time, have people whose houses are burning down. And I'm not going to lie, if you phone me or text me or it comes through the pastoral care team that your house is burning down, I'm going to spend more time praying for you than I am about anyone else, because we're family. And so don't, I wrote it on Facebook, personal relationship creates personal investment. And so if something's going on in your life, I'm going to pray about that before I pray about things that are going on in the wider world. But that doesn't stop me from praying about things in the wider world. Okay? Tell the person next to you, God's really big. He lives inside of me. So I'm really big. I can multitask. And if you're a male, you're like, I did not know that. Because we've been word cursed so many times by females that we can't word. Anyway, let's not get political. I love getting political. So one of the things I want to do, what we're going to do today, we're in this season of fire and stuff like that. And one of the things I've noticed about this season is that my heart has changed when it comes to preaching. And when I'm preaching, one of the best moments I've ever had in preaching in this context, there's other best moments in different contexts, but in this context was in Raleigh, in our Catch the Fire family in Raleigh. And I was preaching, and as I was preaching, people started to come and respond to God. Now, some people in the room were offended on my behalf. Because it's a little bit distracting when you're in the middle of a preach and people start coming and screaming for Jesus. But here's what I learned. It's flipping awesome. Because what's really amazing is when God turns up, regardless of what I'm doing, and sometimes because of what I'm doing, but normally regardless of what I'm doing. Do you know what I'm saying? Or sometimes in spite of what I'm doing, you know? And the aim of every person who's ministering, whether you're leading worship or preaching or praying for someone or prophetic word or whatever it may be, the aim is to just not get in the way of what God wants to do. And hopefully the privilege of being used and being part of a facilitation of what God wants to do, that's just like icing on the cake. I want God to move in the room. And if he uses me, fantastic. But if he's speaking to you, go for it. And so this is going to be one of those times. I felt as I was listening to someone else preaching this week, a scripture and a sentence that they said suddenly dropped this into my heart. And so we're going to talk about Colossians 1. So you can go to Colossians 1 in your Bibles. And we're going to do that. But as I'm preaching, my prayer is that things will start to ping in your spirit of either hunger, desire, or need. And I want you to know, you have full permission to jump up and down and do cartwheels on your seats. I shouldn't say that in case someone does that, hurts themselves, and then I'm liable. You have full permission to respond to God in whatever way you want to. And if that means coming to the front and starting ministry in 2 seconds' time, then God bless you. Go for it. Don't wait for the ministry time to get ministry. Is that okay? Tell the person next to you, you can go anytime you like. Yeah, okay. I am not giving license for a bunch of weird people to execute their weirdness in the middle of this church, okay? What I'm giving license for is for you to meet with God, not a license for you to seek attention and let everyone look at you. All right. It's amazing you have to do caveats on stuff like that. This is one of the things that God's been speaking to me about for a couple of months. Stop being a victim. There's a lot of people who I hear talking in pastoral leadership and life in situations where they're just like, something's happened, something's been said, something's been done, circumstances, the world, probably not, but potentially the devil. Do you know how many people blame the devil for stuff? Like, he's way too busy to intervene in most of our lives. He's not omnipresent, so he can only be in one place at one time. I'm guessing he's not going to pick you. Sorry to burst your grandiose bubble, but he's probably not interfering in your life. There may be some of his little minions like mucking around, but anyway, life may happen, circumstances may happen, the world may happen, potentially darkness may happen, and I speak to people and they're just like getting under it. And I'm just like, one of the things that's been in my heart for so long now is like, no, that's not who we are. We don't do under stuff, because there's a whole bunch of verses that talk about being an overcomer. The head and not the tail. It's like, they're not just there for decoration, you know? They're actually God speaking. You know, someone's, let's not go there. Shoot the rabbit. Okay, you in Colossians 1? I want you to stop being a victim of the circumstances around you. I want you to stop being a victim internally. Well, I couldn't help it. Yeah, you could. Now, we want to help you. This is the pastoral bit. We want to help you equip yourself, cleanse yourself, empower yourself. But the truth of the matter is, you can help it. I can't stop these thoughts. Take every thought captive. I keep thinking this. You have the mind of Christ. I'm reacting like this. You are one with Christ. Like the truth, I mean, we may not be living in the truth, but what I don't like is when people are victims of lies. It's okay for you to say, I'm really struggling with these thoughts, but I know I have the mind of Christ. That's okay. It's okay for you to be on the journey. That's what I'm saying, all right? Tell the person next to you, it's okay to be on the journey. I don't want people to be victims of the need around them either. There's a lot of people who walk into situations where someone needs healing, someone needs breakthrough, someone needs deliverance. Like, we had a great conversation with someone this week about how basically they have a ministry to help people with dissociative disease, which is where they have multiple personalities and all that kind of stuff. Fragmentation is another word for it. And it was just amazing. They're like, this woman walks into situations where most of other Christians that I've met are like, oh, that seems a bit too much. It's like, but she walks in with confidence. It's just like, yeah, this is fine. God's got this. Do you know what we don't want is for you going, I've got this. Because you probably haven't. And if you think you have, you're more dangerous than the ones who are scared about it. But, sorry, I'm being a bit blunt, aren't I? We don't want you blagging it, but we don't want you scared. Scared is worse than blagging it. Like, when we walk into situations, I'm one with Christ. I haven't got a clue what's going on, but you know, some of you, if you're new to us, welcome to the people who are from the wedding. If you're new to us, you may think some of what's happened this morning is a little bit weird. That's because it's a little bit weird. And you may think it's a little bit out of control. It's because it's a little bit out of control. And So I'm agreeing with you. It is a little bit weird and it's a little bit out of control. The thing is, weird isn't wrong, and out of control means in his control. And so we're okay. But one of the things that we do is we get the person who's like Hannah this morning, who's been raptured, so that's disappointing for the rest of us. She's not really been raptured, don't have... anyway, she's the only one. God! What did I do? oh, Dan, what did you do? It's Hannah's husband. Anyway, she's in charge of the service. And so during the chaos of cacophony, the cacophony of chaos, we get the person who's in charge of the service to come and stand here. And some of you were like, oh, right, we're finishing worship. And then she just basically worships for a bit, puts the mic down, and the worship leaders come back in. And you're like, why is she up there? What is she doing? What she's doing is saying, God's got this. Now, what she's probably thinking is, I haven't got a clue what's going on. And you're all thinking, oh, look, there's someone up there who knows what they're doing. No, most of the time, they don't know what they're doing. But most of the time, they've got enough confidence and trust in Jesus that they know that by being stood here, it calms everyone down, and we can all just follow the Holy Spirit and be Spirit-led in what our worship and our response to our worship. Stop being a victim to the people around you. Stop being a victim to the need around you. When you walk into a situation and someone needs healing and someone needs breakthrough, you've got this. Why? Because he's got this. And he's not surprised that you encountered the person who needed healing. It's not like God's over in Kenya, raising the dead, and then suddenly one of the angels is like, God, you need to get to Wembley, because someone's accidentally encountered someone who needs healing, and so we need you over there. No, no, no. God is orchestrating everything, and he knows what's going on. And so when you encounter that person, you may be surprised, but God isn't. Apparently, he's still on the throne. The third place that I don't want you to be a victim is regarding your future. So I don't want you to be a victim to the circumstances and the stuff around you. I don't want you to be a victim to the need in front of you and your potential to influence and change the life of a person in front of you. And I don't want you to be a victim to your future, because there's too many people who are terrified about the future. What is it? Bill Johnson says, worry is imagining a future without God. Every time you're worrying, you're picturing a future without God. And so God's got your past. He's got your heart. He's got your mind. He's got your present. He's got your actions. He knows what he's doing. He's got your life. He's got when he needs to use you to change the world. And he's got your future. Apparently, he's the great I am. Apparently, he was, he is, and he will be the great I am. And apparently, he never changes. So if he can heal the sick here, if he can change a life here, then he can heal a sick with you tomorrow on your way home from church today. And he can heal a sick tomorrow. It's just like, it's God's bread and butter. It's to be supernatural. He doesn't have another gear. So, Colossians 1. Let's actually read some Bible. How many people have got your VIP thing in your Bible? If you don't know what I'm talking about, then please ask one of the team. We have a VIP list, which is the people that we are praying for to get saved. You'll notice that the bottom two are crossed out because they both got saved. Who knew prayer works? Okay. I feel cheeky. Sorry about that. Okay. Colossians 1. Let's go to 13. For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I'm not going to preach it, but you need to know the truth is that the cross of Jesus Christ is the pivot point for your life in every situation. We do not want you to think that the cross of Jesus Christ is just for your moment or event of salvation. The cross of Jesus Christ is the pivot point. He didn't just take you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I think it's in Corinthians, it talks about the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of lights. It's not just that he did that one moment and now you're like, yay, heaven when I die. No, no, no. Every moment in your life is pivoted around the cross of Jesus Christ, okay? That darkness to the kingdom of the Son, that darkness to light is a moment that can happen every second of your life, okay? It's not just a I became a Christian moment. And if you've not saved in the room, if you don't know Jesus, do you know how many people I've met in the last 2 weeks? So I should finish a sentence, shouldn't I? That would probably help you. The amount of people that I've met in the last 2 weeks who think they're Christians and then when I talk to them, they're not saved. And it's unbelievable to me that someone is in the church thinking they're saved, thinking they're going to heaven because they believe in Jesus, not realizing that that's not the only thing that you need to get to heaven. I've said it last week. I'm going to hopefully say it for the rest of my life. People need to be really saved. And if you're not actually saved, if you believe in Jesus, then congratulations, that is the first step. But the devil believes in Jesus. And he ain't going to heaven. So belief in and of itself is not enough. What you need to then do is turn away from the past, turn to Jesus, invite Jesus into your life to be Lord, in charge, master, king. And then in that place, be filled with the Holy Spirit and change the world. Okay? That's what salvation looks like. Here's my thing. Not everyone gets a Road to Damascus experience where they fall off their horse and they can point to that thing and go, oh my word, I was blind for 3 weeks, I met a guy called Barnabas, and I'm definitely saved. Not everyone has that testimony. But if you aren't sure, if your life hasn't changed, do it again. Just do it again. Yeah. So many of you know Jono and Kelly, who are senior leaders in Kenya. If you don't know Jono and Kelly, Jono's sister is Sarah, who's married to Samuel, and so they're leaders in our environment. And Jono has got saved about 19 times. Now, only one of those was intentional. Every other time he misread what was happening in the church, misheard the altar call and went forward and just got re-saved. But you know what? I can guarantee you Jono's going to be in heaven. Because if he didn't do it right the first 18 times, he got it the next time. It's really important that you're actually a Christian. Yeah. And if you're not a Christian, if someone dragged you to church today, if you're just here because it's Sunday, or you're here because you're in the wrong room, whatever it may be, I want you to know that you can be part of the family of God this morning. You can go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the sun. You can go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But the cross is the way you do that. Okay, that's not what I'm going on. Stop rabbit trailing. He is the image, verse 15, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Say, that includes me. Things in heaven and on earth. Say, I'm on earth. Visible. Sorry, this is weird. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everyone say, in him. In him. Ooh, I'm just going to go quicker. Okay, verse 25. I have become its servant. I can't start there. Okay, verse 24. You can't start a verse that relates to the verse before it. Now, the problem with that as a doctrine is that you always start a Genesis 1. But don't start... Verse 4, 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant, the church's servant, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. I have become the church's servant by the commission of God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Everyone say fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, the people who aren't the children of God. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which has been hidden for ages. This mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ooh. So if you're saved, if you've invited Jesus into your life to be Lord and Savior, you turned away from the past, all the mistakes that you've made, and you've turned towards Christ, and if at that point you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you have Christ in you. And what? He's the hope of glory in you. And so I have 4 points this morning. The first point is Christ in you. The second point is Christ in you. The third point is Christ in you. And the fourth point is Christ in you. Are you ready? Okay. Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I was meditating on this, I really felt, and this is what I want. This is what I want the Father to do, the Holy Spirit to do. I want him to start to spark stuff in your heart that's like, ooh, A, I need that. B, that's me, and I need a revelation. I need an awakening. I need to actually live that. That's where I'm going, and I've got 10 minutes. So I'm going to go pretty quickly. The first one is Christ in you. He is Christ in you in your identity. Okay. The second one is Christ in you in your action. The third one is Christ in you in your testimony. And the fourth one is Christ in you in your vision. I know I could be a Baptist pastor. 4 points. Christ in you in your identity, Christ in you in your action, Christ in you in your testimony, and Christ in you in your vision. Christ in you in your identity. I'm going to go really quickly because this is bread and butter for Catch the Fire people. If you were on the immersion day yesterday, you would have heard some of this. We are one with Christ, which means when I say yes to Jesus, it's not just a decision, it's a death. I've heard it said before, we've said it before. Jesus doesn't want to improve you. He wants to kill you. And that is all I have. Thank you. No. The point is, when you say yes to Jesus, it's not just a pretty event in the life. It's not just to please the person who's asking you the question. It's not just something glib and meaningless. This is an actual death. When you say yes to Jesus, you died. Galatians 2 says it very well. Verse 20. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live for him. Yeah? So I died when I said yes to Jesus. And when I got resurrected, I became one with Jesus. I'm not going to go for the full theology of that. If you want to know what it looks like, that process of going from you to you dying to then being resurrected in Christ, with Christ, as one with Christ, then you can ask one of the team and we'll give you the theology for that. We can give you a book, DVD, etc. Duncan Smith, amazing talk. Anyway, the point is that you died. It's like, well, I've always had... No, you didn't always have, because that was another person. He died. She died. And so when you got resurrected with Christ, everything has a possibility to be different. Your identity is different. You are now a son. You're a co-heir with Christ. Ooh. How many people think Christ has got some stuff? You're a co-heir... Come out, in Jesus' name. Go. You are a co-heir with Christ. You are one with Christ. Your identity has changed to be that of Christ. You're a son. You are a son of the Father in heaven. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your identity is secure in who he is. So everyone say, my identity is in Christ. But also your character is in Christ. Your character is one with Christ. So remember, Christ in me, we're talking about identity. This is who we are. It's not just my positional identity. It's actually my character. Do you know that there's a fruit of the Spirit? And interestingly, if you go back in the archives on Catch the Fire podcasts, Tom did some amazing preach on Paul's teaching about the fact that too many Christians pick or choose the fruit that they want out of the list, not realizing that the fruit is all of these. They can't be separated. And so that's a really interesting theology to say, well, actually, I'm loving, but I have no patience. But that's okay, because I've got the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. No. You don't get to pick and choose. It's like my identity, my character, is that the same as Jesus? I had a meeting with some people. Won't give you any details because it's personal, but it was a pastoral meeting. And basically what I saw, some of you are going to think I'm quite blunt in pastorals. Often, that's because I am. But actually, I do have a lot more pastoral. I'm just going quickly, okay? But I sat in front of these people, and I'm just like, hold on a minute. Can I just confirm something? Are you Christians? And they were like, well, yeah. I was like, can you tell me when you became a Christian? Because what you're demonstrating, not so Christian. And they're like, well, what do you mean? Well, it was their fault. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's the Pope's fault. No. Your identity is that the same of Christ. And so you may be on a journey, that's allowed, but this behavior, what you're doing right now, it's illegal. You're not allowed to be like that. That's not okay. You're allowed to be like that and then repent and move on. You're allowed to be on a journey, okay? Don't get me wrong. You're allowed to be on a journey. But no. We have the character of Christ. We have the identity of Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Not the hope of bitterness. Not the hope of judgment. Not the hope of unforgiveness. Not the hope of gossip. Not the hope of, it's no. The hope of glory. Words mean something, people. Okay. Christ in, that was number one. Yikes. Christ in you in action. Okay, we're going to go really quickly through this. Love and power, okay? That's what Christ in you should cause coming out of your life. The person in front of you should always receive love and always receive power. I've got a bunch of verses, not going to talk about them. Basically, because of Christ in us, the hope of glory, it's the hope of glory to the person stood in front of us. So when they meet us, because Christ is in us, they should meet the hope of glory. They should not feel your weird stuff. They should not feel your broken stuff. They should not feel anything other than Jesus. Rewind. You're allowed to be on a journey. But they should feel love of Jesus, power of Jesus, love of Jesus, power of Jesus. Not one or the other, both of them at the same time. You should be healing their sickness and healing their heart at the same time. You should be loving the hell out of the person in front of you. You should be hugging the hell out of the person in front of you. And you should be removing the hell out of the person in front of you. Love and power, people. That's what Jesus looks like. Okay. Christ in you. This was actually what I wanted to preach about. Number three. Let's talk about vision. Let's talk about number four. Christ in you for vision. Very quickly. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus talking. Therefore, go and make disciples of the one person that you really feel you like. That's not what it says. It says, make some of you like, don't remember that version. It's the nearly inspired version. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus' vision, and he's the one who lives inside of you. Jesus' vision is big. Every nation. Now, we teach, live in London, you meet every nation. So you can disciple the nations just by living in London. That's an advantage. But he wants you to think big. He wants you to think beyond your circumstances. He wants you to, and we said this before, and we say it again a million times. If you think the calling on your life that you're probably going to be able to achieve, it is not from God. If your calling doesn't scare the living daylights out of you, if your calling isn't bigger than you could ever dream or imagine, if what you feel God has called you to do doesn't cause you to hit the floor in prayer, it's probably not from God. Because he gets no glory for you doing what you can do. Number three. Revelation 19, you know the verse, we've preached it a million times. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want you to know that your journey, when sanctified, is the hope of glory for every person in the world. No one, do you know people can argue your theology, they can argue your doctrine, they can argue a whole bunch of stuff, but they cannot argue what Jesus has done in your life. And so your testimony, the Christ in me, and this is what I found when I was praying about this. It's not like the Christ in you, the hope of glory, but then God changed the words, which I know is illegal on one level, but he said, the Christ in you is the hope of glory. The Christ. And I was like, what do you mean? And what he said to me in my language was, the testimony of Christ in you is the hope of glory to the nations. God has taken me on a journey, and no one can deny the journey that he's taken me on. No one can convince me that there's a different translation or a different explanation or a different interpretation. This is my life. Like, you can't tell me I didn't happen. You know, I always say to people who are not married to Chloe, sucks for you. I'm married to a miracle. Because she was in a wheelchair. She was designed, doctors told her she'd be in a wheelchair. She was 12 epileptic seizures every day. She was lactose intolerant. She had cystic ovaries and she had a transformed migraine, and God healed her all in one prayer. I'm like, you can't tell me that God isn't supernatural. I love conversations with people when they're like, oh, I don't believe that God heals today. That's for Bible times. And I'm just like, oh. I'm married to a miracle. Your testimony can't be denied. What God has done in you. And some people are like, well, I don't have closed testimony. You know, I wasn't kind of basically unable to walk, and now she can walk, and I wasn't epileptic, and now I've got no seizures, and blah, blah, blah. Do you know what? What God has done in your life, he wants to do in a whole bunch of other people's lives. And the hope, Christ in you, the Christ, the testimony of Christ in you is the hope of glory for so many people. Some people are like, well, I was in gang kind of stuff, and now I'm not in gang stuff anymore, and I've said to God I'll never go back to that place. And I'm like, okay, I understand the heart behind that, but God's probably going to use you for gang ministry, so might want to break that in a vow. I was in drugs, and I've sworn, no. The fact that God has brought you out of drugs means you are prime time, what was it, truth bomb into the lives of those who are still in drugs. The fact that you had fear and you no longer have fear, there's a whole bunch of people out there who need to know your testimony of going from fear to strength. There's a whole bunch of people who need to know that you went from terror to peace. There's a whole bunch of people who need to know that the disease that God healed in your body, that you went from financial torment into favor. Everything that God has done in the lives of his children is a testimony of Christ in them, the hope of glory. So excited right now. When you get this, you're unstoppable. I'm not a victim anymore. That doesn't mean everything's easy, but it means I'm strong. It doesn't mean I always say or do the right thing, but I know I will. And so we catch ourselves, we have permission to catch ourselves. It's not like perfect life, yay. It's, oops, no, this is who I am. Oh, I can't believe I thought that about this person. It's like, I repent, break, inner healing, cleansing. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's about realizing who you are is not defined by what you did. But what you did, sanctified, healed up, suddenly becomes a big piece of who you are. It's like, this is my breakthrough. This is my testimony. This is what God has done in me, and I'm going to tell the world about it. Why don't you stand? Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. I want you to think about the situations where you may have tripped up, where you may have stopped, where it was too big, you were intimidated. It may be an emotional thing, maybe a relational thing. It may be that you're terrified about evangelism. It may be that you've never healed the sick. It may be, I don't know what it is in your world. It may be that you're lacking in money. It may be that you need a house. It may be that you need a better job or a job. Whatever it is in you, I want you to picture that thing and think about that thing if Jesus was the one praying. How many people think, it would probably be sorted? Yeah? Some of you are like, well, maybe. No, he's the one who created the earth. He breathes out stars. He raises the dead. He turns water into wine. He walks on water. He sleeps in a storm. Then he calms a storm. He's pretty epic. Okay? So how many people think if Jesus is in front of this issue, we're done? All right, we got this. Guess what? He is. So here's the ministry time. I want you to slap yourself. I know others have said it, but here's what I felt. Slap yourself, Hannah, not your husband. Here's what I want you to hear. And others have said it. Christ is in you. He wants out. Not out and away. He wants to shine. He wants to rise up. And he wants to be God in you. Ooh. Ooh. Focus, guys. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I release an impartation of recognition, revelation, awakening, and initiation of the concept, the revelation, the purpose, and the truth that Christ is in us. Holy Spirit, would you come right now, Spirit of Christ, and would you bubble up within us? Would you create truth within us? Would you cause us to be unshakable and unstoppable? Would you cause us to be strong in the way that we understand who we are? And I rebuke all arrogant weirdness, but I awaken the children of God into their royal identity, that they are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We release an impartation that allows you to walk out of your past and into your identity and your present, and therefore into your future with wide eyes of delight, anticipation, and expectation that God is outside of time. He's already there. He has already met the need. He has already provided for it, and he wants to show that through you. 2 Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth, looking through whom he can show his, and then depending on what version you read, the eyes of the Lord are looking, going to and fro across the earth, looking for the ones through whom he can show his splendor, glory, might, power. How many people want to get away from being a victim to the world, but would quite like to be a victim to that happening in their life? One of my prayers that I pray most days is, God, make me a landing pad for your glory. And I know I have it. I just need to awaken to it. Why don't you pray after me? It's just a prayer of repentance so that we can actually hold on to this. Heavenly Father, I repent for thinking that I'm still alive. I know when I said yes to Jesus, I died. And super me was resurrected. It's literally super you, supernatural you. It's super you. That's what super means, supernatural. That's where it comes from. Superman, supernatural man. That's where it comes from. You're super you. That's quite exciting. Imagine super you going to work tomorrow. Imagine super you going into your family this afternoon. Imagine super you going shopping. Imagine super you in your community. Imagine super you walking down the road. Ooh, I like that. Why don't you repeat after me? I died. I said yes to Jesus. I now live. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm one with Christ. Jesus, let's do this. Hey. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And here's the application. Today, maybe on the way out, maybe on the way home, you are going to encounter someone who needs to know Jesus. And I'm not talking about evangelism here. I'm talking about your identity in Christ. And so you can love them. You don't have to mention Jesus. That's not the point. The point is that when you step in front of that person on the tube, when you step in front of that person at the restaurant, when you step in front of that person who may be waiting at home for you, when you step in front of whoever it is, you know who you are. And so you can have a buzzer on your phone, or you can get a buzzer from Catch the Fire that goes off every few minutes and literally vibrates in your pocket. I have so many reminders vibrating in my pocket right now. And to be honest, some of them I've never actually read, because at that moment when my phone goes off, I know it's not a phone call. I know it's not a text message. I know it's a reminder of who I am. It's who I am. So why don't you say this? I am one with Christ. This is who I am. Holy Spirit, would you help me? Would you fill me? Would you baptize me in truth so that this remains who I am? Okay, we're coming to the end of the service. If you're new to us, please come and say hello to us before you go. There's a bunch of team here. John's over by the piano. He would love to meet with you. He's one of our relationship pastors with his wife. There's a whole bunch of leaders in the room. But here's what I want to finish on. If you would like an impartation, which probably has already happened, but we believe in hands-on, because apparently the Bible believes in hands-on, sometimes blowing. Anyway, not point. If you would like to receive an impartation of assurance of your identity in Christ, then I want you to come to the front, and we're going to get some people who really know who they are to lay a big fat hand on your head and release something godly into your spirit that says, this is who you are. And tomorrow, the application, remember, today or tomorrow, you're going to meet someone who needs to know the Jesus inside of you. And here's the application. That instead of hiding, instead of running, instead of moving, instead of doing anything else, you're going to stand there and you're going to do what Hannah Graham did. And you're going to stand here not really knowing what was happening next, but knowing the God inside her had it covered, and therefore she stayed still and waited for God to do his thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, let me rephrase why you could come to the front. Don't come to the front if you've never heard this. That's not why I'm saying it, but you can come to the front. I'm saying if you want an impartation to create a certainty in who you are, then you're welcome to come to the front. This is who you are. This is who you are. But I'm not sure bows to the knee. Bows the knee to the name of Jesus. But it didn't work last time. Bows the knee to the name of Jesus. I've been here before. Bows the knee to the name of Jesus. And I take hold right now over lies in your life about your identity. I take hold of those lies right now. I rebuke them and I crush them in the name of Jesus. I bind every lie that's speaking into your soul. I bind every lie that's speaking into your heart. And I say no in the name of Jesus. You are one with Christ. You are bought at a price. This is who you are. You are secure in Jesus' name. You are secure in Jesus' name. You are secure in Jesus' name. This is who you are. If you're new to us, please come and say hello to one of the team. Dan's on the door on the way out. Philly's running around too. We would love to get to know you. Guys from Wales, Dan on the door is in charge of our ministry. He's the leader of our ministry that goes all around the country, so make sure you've connected with him. We would love to get to know the church that you go to. If you've got disease in your body, we don't want that. We want to remove it from your body. So please come to the front if you have any disease left in your body. We don't want that. JJ is preaching tonight. I know what he's going to do. I'm absolutely excited about it because it's going to be very different to what you're used to. He's preaching on oil. Matt is leading worship. He's going to do what Matt does. So if you need more of the presence of God in your life, then we'll see you at 6 o'clock this evening. It is a completely different lineup, so we'll be a completely different service this evening. Ministry team, I want some grit in your prayers. None of this pastoral stuff. This is apostolic. Slap a hand on someone's head and tell them who they are. And then pastor them. Need some more men. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done.